Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're in our Sunday school class of studying the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ and seeing our praying Savior. That as we go through, we're just taking apart the prayer of Jesus and almost as if we're eavesdropping and listening to him as he talks to his Father. We're also taking this prayer and learning different aspects of doctrine, of theology, of Christology, of salvation. As Jesus is talking to God, we get to learn so much more about who God is, about his work, and about his plans. And we find our way in the Gospel record of John, chapter 17. And if you don't mind, let's kind of start from where we've already covered and move to verse number 5. Start in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark that phrase that we find in the Gospel record of John in chapter 17. The Gospel record of John chapter 17, and notice with me the very end of verse 5, where it says, before the world was. Before the world was. If you ever want to know the heart of a person, listen to him pray. You could learn quite a bit about someone as they pray. John 17 is the longest recorded prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read this, we're listening to the Son talk to the Father. And we're listening to him give a glimpse of who he really is. It is a significant statement that Jesus mentions here, where he says in verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I, this is Jesus, had with thee before the world was. What a declaration that Jesus Christ says, I had glory with you before the world was. May I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem? Jesus is God. And that before the world was, Jesus is God. He is God. That is a powerful, significant statement. We know that in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God had no beginning. He had no end. One of the things I deal with people all the time, especially children, is that kids will ask, who created God? Well, no one created God. God existed before time. Before time was, God created time. I know it's a hard concept for us to understand because we have a beginning and we have an end. We are very finite. In fact, the older we get, the more clearly we see our end. We think about it more. It becomes more real. Whereas young teenagers, they think they're immortal and they have forever to go. But there's something about it is that we do have a definite end. We have a definite beginning. There was something that existed before you did. Namely, your parents. There were things, whole entire epics of history before you existed. So it's hard for us to fathom Jesus and God had no beginning. They had no end. They are eternal God. And Jesus was with God at the very beginning. A very important, powerful saying. We know that there's many people who do not believe such a thing, but Jesus, as he's saying, can we believe Jesus? Jesus said, before the world was. Jesus was there, and he had glory with the Father. If you don't mind, let's just examine this concept just a little bit more. The first thing we want to bring to your attention is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existed in eternity past. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit existed in eternity past. Now, may I also just emphasize here that we do not believe three different gods. We believe in one God with three aspects. We would say instead of a Trinity, we believe in a triune God. The word tri means three, une means one. The three in one. One God, three aspects of that same God. And before the world was, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were there. Notice, if you don't mind, let's just look and see what it has to say in John chapter 1. So we know Genesis 1:1 is the first book of the Bible, and it talks about in the beginning God created. But John 1:1 goes even further back in time than Genesis 1:1. John 1:1 is the very first book, our first verse speaking about chronology in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. By the way, if you wanted to know who is this Word, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is this Word? Jesus. So in the beginning, Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus is God. We don't have three separate gods. We have one God, three aspects of that same God. And because Jesus is God, he also has the same attributes and aspects, characteristics that God the Father has. In order to prove that to you, turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 5. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in John chapter 5, and we could walk through here as Jesus is dealing with the Jewish people, and Jesus is telling them that he is co-equal with God the Father. Notice the things that he is equal with God in. Notice with me as we start in John chapter 5 and verse 18 for context's sake. Notice verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, next year, we're going through the gospel record of John, and I'm looking forward to it. Our theme is going to be understanding the love of God. How do we understand the love of God? By looking at the love of Jesus for us. And we're going to go over this in detail, but one of the things you'll notice in the gospel record of John is that how many times they went to go kill Jesus. And Jesus would go, time out. Why do you guys want to kill me? Because you just said you're God. Good. I was just making sure everyone heard that. They just said that I was God. All right, time back in. And this is one of them where they're planning on killing him the more. Time out. Why? You just said you're God, making yourself equal with God. Okay, good. Everyone heard that? Good. Jesus is acknowledging he said that he was equal with God, and the people understood what he said, that he was equal with God. What is he equal with God with? What is he equivalent to God with? Notice verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son could do nothing of himself, but that what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, these likewise doeth the Son also. Notice in verse 19, Jesus is equal in power. The same things that God does, Jesus is able to do. God did miracles, Jesus did miracles. In fact, we break up the miracles into natural miracles, miracles over death, and forgive me, I'm going off memory now. There's three types of miracles. But each of those that God proves himself, and Jesus proved himself with the same type of miracles. Jesus is equal with God in power. Notice as we go on in verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Here we see that Jesus is equal in knowledge. Everything the Father knows, Jesus knows. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to Jesus? Jesus never had a thought, said, I've never thought of that before. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Because God knows everything. Everything that God knows, Jesus knows. Notice as we go to verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Notice they're equal in raising the dead. Just like God rose the dead, Jesus rose the dead. Do you know that Satan can't mimic that? Satan can't raise anyone from the dead. That is a power that only God has. And Jesus, who is God and equal with God, is also able to raise the dead. And that was a proven thing. Jesus rose several people from the dead. Lazarus. There was a funeral that his disciples and him ran into the funeral party there carrying the casket. And Jesus said, hey, you in the casket, get up. And the guy got up and people, what just happened? You can imagine going to a funeral and the guy in the casket got up. Jesus proved himself over and over by raising the dead. Notice as it goes on to verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son. Do you know, according to this, who is the one that we're going to stand before and give an account to? Jesus. Jesus is going to judge the world. God has turned it over to a Son because Jesus is God, but Jesus is co-equal in power and has the ability to judge. Notice in verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Notice this. Jesus is co-equal in honor. So much that God said, if you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. Well, there's a lot of people who claim that Jesus is not God. They're violating this verse. Because Jesus is worthy of all honor, and if you don't honor the Son as he truly is, you're not honoring the Father. Very interesting, isn't it? That Jesus is God. Co-equal, co-ruling, co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. Jesus is the creator God. He created all things. In fact, let's go to our second idea, that the Savior is the Son of God. The Savior is the Son of God. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. And let's just see a little bit more about Jesus being co-equal, co-ruling, that he is as powerful. He is God. Notice with me Colossians chapter 1. Start with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 15. Who, speaking of Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now let's kind of explain this. God is a spirit. John chapter 4 speaks about this. And because God is a spirit, we can't understand God. But God wants to be known. How can we know an unknowable being? By that being making himself familiar to us that we can know him. So God robed himself in flesh and dwelt among us. So we can know who God is by knowing who Jesus is. That's how important Jesus is. If you want to know God, you know him through the Son. He is the expressed image of God. He is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is God, robed in flesh, and dwelt among us. So we can have an understanding of who he is. Isn't that a wonderful God? Is that he knew that we can never understand who God is as a spirit up in heaven, invisible, gone. But God wants us to know who he is. So God stepped, robed himself in flesh, so we can know him. Jesus talked about this with his disciples in John chapter 14, when Philip said, hey, how do we get to God? And he says, have not been so long with you? You don't recognize me? I'm God. You know me, you know God. You should know this. We get to know God by Jesus. Notice as it goes on in verse number 16, for by him, that's Jesus, were all things created. Now, this is the second time today that we've seen this. Who created all things? Jesus or God? The answer is yes, because Jesus is God. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Who is the creator God? Jesus. Because Jesus is God. Notice in verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him are all things consist. You know, there's still things in science that we do not understand. For example, how an atom stays together. All right, let's try science and chemistry, physics, all right? An atom is made up of what three parts? Protons, neutrons, and electrons. Now, electrons circle the atom, and as a distance, if we were to equivalate that and bring it to a big idea, that we would put a soccer ball in the middle of Lambeau Field, that would be the nucleus, and the electrons would be as far away as the edge of the upper deck of Lambeau Field, if we were to make it that big. But inside of the nucleus, what elements are inside of the nucleus? Protons and neutrons. Now, neutrons have a neutral charge, but protons have a positive charge. Now, for those of you who understand magnets, what happens if you put a North Pole next to a North Pole? It repels, right? Like charges repel, unlike charges attract. Well, when you put a bunch of positives together, what is the normal state that wants to happen? They want to explode. They don't want to be together. There's nothing binding them together. You know, that's one of the big questions of physics. How does that nucleus stay together when you have those protons together and they want to repel? There has to be a very powerful bonding force to keep those together. Now, I'm a scientist, and I like science, but I have the answer to that question that physicists have not been able to answer. How is it that the protons aren't exploding? By the way, when you get them to finally explode, that's what's the basis of an atomic bomb, is that you get an electron to hit the bonds. The protons then will repel against each other and then cause more of them to disrupt into a chain. That's the very basics of nuclear physics. How is it that we're not having nuclear bombs just by shaking hands and disrupting things? Well, I believe that there's a Bible answer, verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I still believe that Jesus is a natural force that is able to hold things together. and that if he ever fell asleep at the wheel, which he won't, everything would collapse. Because he is God. You're like, well, that doesn't sound very scientific. Hey, listen, it's a better answer than any of the physicists have right now. Amen. Notice with me in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Notice we have a definite article. He is the beginning. He wasn't at the beginning. He was the beginning. Why? Because he created everything. It's because he was God. He who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and meaning that he's the first one to be risen from the dead and not die again. Do you know Lazarus? He got risen from the dead, but he died again. Everyone who was risen from the dead died again. It was a temporary solution. But Jesus, when he rose from the dead, never died again and is alive forevermore. And because he lives, we have the promise of eternal life and that we will live forevermore too. He is the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence, meaning that the preeminence means that he is the one and only on the list. He's not the top of the list. He's the one and only on the list. For example, if Nick went to his wife and said, honey, out of all the women that I love, you're the best, she would not appreciate that. She wants to hear that he loves her like he loves no one else. The same thing about Jesus. Because he's God, he holds a different part than any other list. And he is not, we're not violating any worship against God because Jesus is God. We could worship him as God and there is none else. And we haven't violated any principle because Jesus is God. Now, this is all important stuff because we're learning about who Jesus is, which now brings us to one last thing. Our salvation was determined before the world was. Christ's word said before the world was, and it's speaking about our salvation. Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And notice with me in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace be multiplied. Notice this. He said, to the foreknowledge of God. Do you know that God knew before the world began how he was going to save the world, that he was going to die on the cross? Before Adam and Eve ever sinned in the garden, God already had this plan. We have this principle in the Bible that we say God is always previous, that before you ever have a need, he's already answered the need. Before there was a need of salvation, he already had that met. That Jesus Christ knew what was going to happen, had the foreknowledge, and had salvation planned and prepared for us. You know what that means? Is that there's no loopholes, there's no fine print, there's no things that exceptions to the rule. Jesus had perfect full knowledge and said salvation is what can cover everything. We don't have to add anything else. Salvation is enough, that I died on the cross for them, rose again. We know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. That means our salvation never changes because Jesus never changes. And that everyone needs to know this. We're thankful that Jesus has provided salvation to every man. He has already had this planned and crafted before he even created anything. He already had everything already in hand, already in motion, already knew what he was going to do. What a wonderful God. Now, what does this do for you? Well, hopefully it helps you to be able to trust Jesus even more, that he is God, that he does hear and answers prayer, that he already has a best interest in mind. He knows what he wants to do for us. He knows how to guide us. Jesus is God. And he's a personable God. He's a relatable God. He's a knowable God. He's a God who wants to interact with you and with me. He's a God who wants to have a relationship and a fellowship with you. Because he's God, and he's the expressed image of this invisible God, that we can know who God is. Now, when we don't know who God is, it's because we're not spending time with the Lord. It's because we don't want to, because God has made it available. We can know God through his Son. Isn't it an interesting and powerful statement that as Jesus is praying, he's talking to God the Father, and he says, before the world was. Jesus already had this planned out, and Jesus is God. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And again, we're praying that this would strengthen someone's faith, that they can trust a living Savior. They could trust a Savior who already had all perfect knowledge, and that there's no exceptions to the rule. There is no fine print. There's nothing that can mess up the salvation he has offered to us. We just have to receive his gift. And that through Jesus Christ, we can have a personal, intimate relation with God the Father. And that we can know you personally. We can have fellowship with you. We're asking that again, that you would strengthen someone's faith. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.